PRI, Public Radio International.
From the court of Vienna to lush forests and rowdy taverns to the synagogues of our own steel city, I'm Jim Cunningham. In just a few minutes, we'll embark on a whirlwind musical tour across countries and cultures. We'll listen to Beethoven's almost obsessively revised overture to Fidelio, Karl Orff's majestic Carmina Burana, and the Pittsburgh Symphony Commission Sixth Symphony, composed by native Pittsburgher David Stock. It's Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, made possible by Pittsburgh residents Pat and Michelle Atkins, in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation, and by the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. The audience is on their feet at Heinz Hall for the Star-Spangled Banner, in the arrangement by Walter Damrosch, who conducted the New York Symphony Orchestra and was heard as a commentator on NBC Radio classical music programs until his death in 1950. Francis Scott Key wrote the words, and British composer John Stafford Smith wrote the music for the tune To Anacreon in Heaven. The Star-Spangled Banner is thought by some to be difficult to sing with its wide range, and the words are sometimes mangled at sporting events, such as the slight bobble in the 2011 Super Bowl from Pittsburgh-raised pop songstress Christina Aguilera. The audience here at Heinz Hall is in the spirit. The Star-Spangled Banner, sung by the audience and members of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, who played it in Walter Damrosch's arrangement, with Manfred Honeck conducting at Heinz Hall. 2014 marked the 200th anniversary of the Rockets' Red Glare. There were summer group sings at the Fort Pitt Blockhouse in the Golden Triangle, downtown Pittsburgh, and you can always travel to the Smithsonian to see the flag, which this year displayed not only the flag that inspired the anthem, but the music as well as the banner at the same time. You're listening to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio. It's opening night at Heinz Hall. If at first you don't succeed, try, try again. That seemed to be Beethoven's personal motto from the years of 1804 to 1814, which he devoted entirely to writing his one and only opera, Fidelio, a sweeping tale of triumph over injustice and inhumanity. Over those 10 years, Beethoven composed 4 drafts of the opera and its corresponding overture. Beethoven supposedly outright rejected the first draft and received little praise for his second and third attempts due to remaining dramatic inconsistencies within the opera. However, after years of undergoing painstaking revisions, Beethoven's 4th draft of the opera's overture, his Overture to Fidelio, was at long last a smash hit in Vienna. While the musical themes presented in the Overture to Fidelio do not appear anywhere in the actual opera, the overture is every bit as rousing as the opera itself. Keep an ear out for the 2 contrasting themes that wind their way through the overture, The first is a brilliant fanfare, first introduced by a solo horn and later passed to the full orchestra. The second is much darker in tone, slowly rippling its way through the strings without an identifiable melody. Now here's the overture to Fidelio from the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, conducted by music director Manfred Honeck.
Thank you.
The Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Manfred Honeck. You heard Beethoven's Overture to Fidelio. While Beethoven's opera Fidelio champions the concept of heroism and justice, ultimately triumphing over all that's wrong with the world, our next piece presents a very different perspective on life. It's German composer Karl Orff's magnum opus, Carmina Burana, a stunning work for orchestra, two soprano, tenor, alto, bass choirs, one boys choir, and tenor, baritone, and soprano soloists. I spoke with baritone Hugh Russell. He shared his thoughts with me on the origins and the cyclical nature of Orff's orchestral masterpiece.
It's the time-honored Wheel of Fortune idea where, you can be at the top one moment, then you're on the way down, then you're at the bottom, but then you're rising again. And this is sort of how life goes, and there's all these different possibilities. And I think Orff really wants people to celebrate all of them, because it's a very celebratory work. And even though it ends with this sober kind of repetition, but the message, of course, is that you could be at the bottom tomorrow, even though you're on top today. So it ends with this cyclical idea, and yet in the middle of it, there's so much carousing and flirtation. And I think he wants people to just embrace life and really try to squeeze all the blood out of it you can get.
Baritone Hugh Russell, who we're about to hear in Karl Orff's Carmina Burana, played by the Pittsburgh Symphony and sung by the Mendelssohn Choir. With its whirling combination of instruments and voices, Orff's Carmina Burana contains countless musical surprises, including one particular tenor solo that is more and more often sung by a countertenor. Andre Nemser told me he has great sympathy for the swan roasting away, likening the swan's situation to that of our human brethren, who find themselves stuck between a rock and a hard place in life.
I'm just very sad about my past and about my future because I got caught by hunters, put on the frying pan or the grill, and I'm spinning on that stick grilling and thinking, oh my, what's going to happen? Once I was a swan swimming in the lake, and now I'm here, getting be done, cooked for
a tavern, I guess. A series of events happening in the tavern.
The last words he's saying that, oh my God, I see the sharp teeth. So this is the end.
Countertenor Andre Nemser, who won third place in the September 2014 Operalia competition in San Francisco, conducted by Placido Domingo. Andre Nemser is a Metropolitan Opera audition winner. He is also a member of the Mendelssohn Choir of Pittsburgh and a soloist with the Third Presbyterian Church Choir in Pittsburgh's Shadyside. Joining Andre on stage at Heinz Hall will be soprano Lisette Oropesa, who gives her all to hit the sensuous high note in Carmina Burana.
My section comes as the amorous part, the loving part. So I talk about feminine desire. I describe it from a kind of telling like a parable about a young girl without a boyfriend or without a lover is very sad and basically not her full complete self. And there's a lot of conflict in the feeling of being female in that there's kind of the sense of the chastity, the archetype of the chaste female versus the archetype of the female with a lot of desire, and how she kind of manages those feelings as a human. And finally, my last words, a very high a cappella part that's very famous, the soprano sings, where she gives herself completely to her lover. So it's a really kind of coming of age journey for the human spirit.
Soprano Lisette Oropesa joins Andre Nemser, countertenor, Hugh Russell, baritone, the Mendelssohn Choir of Pittsburgh, directed by Betsy Burley, and music director Manfred Honeck, to conduct the Pittsburgh Symphony in Carmina Burana by Karl Orff.
sex subtilis. Novo mundo reserat faciem aprilis. Ad amorem proberat animus erilis, et iocundis imperat deus puerilis. Rerum tanta novitas in solemni vere, et veris autoritas iubet nos gaudere. Vias prebet solitas et in tuo vere, fides est et probitas tuum redinere. Totaliter et ex mente tota sum presenti aliter absens in remota. Quis quis amat taliter volvitur in rota.
menti, sopra mentre porere sed fondamenti, quanto seguo con valor fluviolamenti, fluvion tramite non fa permanenti.
Oh! Oh. fabilis, membris acertis labis.
Situlus sine fabilis, membris acertis labis. Si, puer cupu medulla morare tunim sedulla.
Yes!
You heard the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra with countertenor Andre Nemzer, soprano Lisette Oropesa, baritone Hugh Russell, the Mendelssohn Choir directed by Betsy Burley, and conductor Manfred Honeck. It was Karl Orff's Carmina Burana.
It's definitely popular everywhere, and it's amazing that the piece, that it attracts not only people who likes classic music anyway, it's especially young people, especially people who are not that familiar with classic music. They come to the concerts because of Carmina Burana, because it's so exciting, and it sounds still, even if it was written in 1935 and 1936, it sounds still modern, and it could be always the best-selling in the pop charts, actually. So it is the piece which brings young and old people together.
On the way from Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, the world premiere of the Symphony No. 6 by David Stock. I'm Jim Cunningham. Take a few minutes to write a note. I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to send you a free souvenir from Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh Symphony Program Reading Light. It will fit in your wallet. It's in the shape of a credit card, and it's perfect for reading concert programs in low light. It even magnifies small print. Get one free from Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, along with the radio guide, a complete list of concerts in the series, photographs of some of our soloists, a Pittsburgh Symphony history, Manfred Honeck's biography, and more. It's all free. Write to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio, 4802 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. You can send email to pso@wqed.org, or you'll find the website at psoradio.org. Let me know what station you're listening to. If you missed the address, stay tuned. I'll give it again at the end of this Pittsburgh Symphony Radio concert. This program is made possible by Pittsburgh residents Pat and Michelle Atkins, who've underwritten in honor of Carlo University, Pittsburgh, with additional support by the Jack Buncher Foundation and the musicians of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. You're listening to Pittsburgh Symphony Radio from Public Radio International.